Isn't this a sports show?
We have 18 minutes left, and we haven't actually talked about anything.
Almost entirely.
Whenever we come back, we'll talk about football. That's a promise that we probably will not be able to live up to. That's next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever every other station in the city is on a commercial break, maybe we won't be.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This isn't exactly how I phrase it, but this is the more concise way for me to be saying this. This show's better when I prepare more. Duh.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at GB Briscoe.
If you want to throw bread at me for $5, you can 100% do that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome into a Red Friday. I was going to say Wed Friday, and I didn't.
I thought you were going to say Wet and Wild Wacky Friday there for a second.
You can, you can listen to the show even if you're not married, is what I should say. It's a Red Friday, not necessarily a Wed Friday. Wed Friday, Beards, try to keep up. By the way, I just found out before the show started that Beards' actual name is Nathaniel. So that's what we'll talk in hour two.
You can see why I go by Beards.
I knew your name was Nathan. I did not know you were actually Nathaniel in disguise. Again, that's hour two now of the show. We're going to a bunch of Chiefs-Jets today on this Wed Friday. Because that's the game that's happening. And most importantly, I've come up with a new theory about this game that we'll talk about very soon. But Matt Connor of Arrowhead Addict will join us in about 20 minutes. Kent Swanson from Arrowhead Pride will join us in about an hour. Lots of Chiefs today. But I'm theorizing a new thing about this game against the Jets. It's going to sound kind of silly at first. I'll give you my reasoning, don't worry. But it's going to sound kind of silly at first because this is a game against the Jets, who are not a good football team, who are not doing anything interesting this year, who are going to finish this year 6-10 or something, and who do not have any particular intrigue to them right now. With all that being said, I think this game is the second most important game the Chiefs are going to play this year. Regular season division. The Steelers game was the most important thing this year, the most important game in the moment, because they had already beaten the Patriots, and losing to the Patriots on the road would have just been, expected. So that was a great win, but that game didn't have much weight in it going into it. Because if they would have lost, it would have just been, that's fine, go on to the next thing. The Steelers at home the Steelers game at home gave the Chiefs a chance to cement themselves as bona fide contenders. If the Chiefs were to win that game, they would have been viewed as being able to beat anybody. Now this week at the Jets, the Chiefs have to prove that they're capable of beating somebody.
We've fallen far.
It's a far, far gap between those two games. But that's really where we are right now. The Chiefs can't beat anybody currently. Over these last few weeks, there have been embarrassing losses. The last two, obviously, the most devastating. And the differences in how this season turns with a win or a loss on Sunday really can't be overstated. And not just the things that I would do, but the things that actually probably will happen, either in the actions of Andy Reid or at least in the minds of the fan base, and in some ways I'm sure the minds of the players. So, listen to this. What if the Chiefs lose? What if the Chiefs do lose this game on Sunday? As you have to think they're at least very capable of doing. It would be their sixth loss in the last seven games and their third consecutive loss to a terrible football team, more or less cementing the Chiefs' role in the NFL this year as a newly terrible football team. if they lose like they've lost the last 2 weeks, it would become, in my mind, unequivocally Patrick Mahomes' time. And if they have another 2-for-13 on third down type of game, putting up less than 14 points and losing again, I think there's a 1-in-3 chance that Andy Reid would also be on board to make that change. I don't think Andy Reid wants to sit here and keep banging his head up against a brick wall, hoping that eventually an Alex Smith screen pass will knock it down. I don't know what Reid thinks of Mahomes' readiness. So that is the variable here. But if it looks like it these last couple of weeks, I think there's a 33% chance of Mahomes' time. And if it looks like it did last 2 weeks, for me, if I was the head coach, it would be 100% Mahomes' time. If the Chiefs lose again, next week against Oakland starts to look like a perfect place to introduce a rookie to the league. You get a bad defense, just kind of a wild-feeling sort of team. It's a rivalry game. You're getting it at home in Arrowhead. But if the Chiefs win, it'll feel like the perfect place for Alex Smith to get back on track. Use all those same pieces of evidence to argue that it's a perfect place to get Alex Smith back to what he was the first 5 weeks. Here's the thing, though. Smith has had two of those games already in the last 2 weeks, and with the game on Sunday, he could be having a third where he would fail to get back on track. What if they win? What if the Chiefs win on Sunday? It's not a great win. It's not a quality win because it's the Jets. But the Chiefs right now don't really need a quality win. They just need a W. And ideally one that doesn't feel fluky. Ideally not a 10-3 victory whenever Marcus Peters gets a pick six and the offense puts up a field goal. But like an actual win. But if they do win, then the panic about the AFC West can cease again. The AFC West, a division that was over after week 5, by the way. They get back on the right track, whatever that means. It stops the free fall, and there has been a free fall. It keeps Alex Smith in for another week. And then it makes the Raiders game next week a fight to maintain the lead on them and to maintain your lead on the Chargers and not a fight to win it back. Because 7-5 is very, very different than 6-6.
How many points do you need for the offensive score to make it feel not fluky? Like 20? 30?
At this point, I was going to say 3 touchdowns.
10?
I was going to say 3 touchdowns. 3 touchdowns makes you feel like it's an offense that's actually accomplishing something. But at this point, just getting to 20 would be nice.
And is that just all offensive touchdowns?
I mean, the offense has to account for 20 points, which is something that they've done once in these last 6 weeks. They did it in the loss to the Raiders. Twice, and the victory against the Broncos. They've done it once in the losses of the last 6 weeks, the 5 losses. And in fact, there was a stat, I think it was actually at the Wall Street Journal. The Chiefs have been so atrocious recently that the Wall Street Journal's gotten in on making fun of them. Oh, come on, screenshots. Here we go. The Chiefs have the third now largest decline in points per game through October versus November since 1970. The 02 Bills and the 2011 Bills were the two teams worse at this than the Chiefs. But the Chiefs averaged 29.5 points per game through October and 12 points per game in November. which I actually think should make the Chiefs the second worst team here based off of how this worked. They're also sorting them by the rest of the season, which we don't know yet. And for what it's worth, those two Bills teams, the rest of the season, they ended up somewhere in the middle, and I think the Chiefs will probably also end up somewhere in the middle where they're scoring, you know, 20 points a game. But I'm telling you, it feels unbelievably silly, and if you would have told me this before the season, I would have been terrified that this is the second most important game that the Chiefs have played this year.
And it's the Jets.
And it's the Jets. And it's not because the Jets are better than we thought or anything like that. The Jets have four wins.
I mean, they kind of are, maybe?
Yeah, but, like, barely. It's not like this is suddenly an AFC championship preview.
It's not that you're impressed with how good they are. It's just that...
Oh, man. Beers has really struggled
the
last couple of weeks.
I know. God.
Coughing into the microphone.
Stupid allergies. It's that... They're not as completely dog poop as you thought they were.
Well, but here's the thing.
And you're impressed by the fact they're not dog poop.
Not even! Because you know who was all the dog poop I thought they were? The Giants. And the Chiefs lost to them in the same damn stadium. It has nothing to do with the Jets. If you would have said before the season, hey, Jets-Chiefs is going to be one of the most important games of the Chiefs' schedule, I would have gone like, oh, God, well, are the Jets winning the AFC East? Is this a wild card battle? No. No. It's just because the Chiefs haven't done anything these last 3 weeks. They've had this terrible six games. The last... God, I want to pass out. In the last 7 weeks, the best thing they've done is beat the Broncos at home. The best thing the Chiefs have done in the last 7 weeks is beat the Denver Broncos in Arrowhead by 10 points. With one offensive touchdown. I may add. Right? One? Wasn't it one? Because the Marcus Peters had the fumble. Yeah, one touchdown. Alex Smith threw the touchdown to Travis Kelce. That was right after the Marcus Peters fumble return touchdown, and then it was nothing but field goals for three quarters. This is problematic, you guys. I'm concerned about this. Do you have that Adam Schefter clip I cut earlier, Beards? So I was... Just, you know, I was doing what I usually do in my free time, which was thinking about Patrick Mahomes. And a Facebook or an ESPN notification popped up on my phone about, it was, you know, like Teddy Bruschi talking about Mahomes and Alex Smith. I don't really care what Teddy Bruschi says, but Schefter is also there, so I listened to it. And Adam Schefter talked about the Chiefs quarterback situation and juxtaposed with what else I've heard. I actually thought what Schefter said here was potentially minor sounding at first, but I thought was actually had some value and had some interest for it. So listen, this is Adam Schefter on ESPN.
Let me give you the short and long-term future. Short-term, their plan and plan all along has been to stick with Alex Smith this season. And if they continue to lose and struggle, maybe they would have asked that, but I think they stick with Alex Smith now, and I think they trade him in the offseason. That's his future.
Two things are in there. Really, there are three things. All right? Three things. Beard, you just shrugged at that?
I mean, sure. It's stuff we've heard 100 times.
Well, here's the thing. There are three things in that clip, in that audio clip.
Including words.
Three things I want to dissect there.
And Schefter.
One.
So there's one thing.
One being that he said that he thinks the Chiefs could reassess Alex Smith as the starter all year if they keep losing, which isn't a report that I had heard from anybody. It has always just been Alex Smith, Alex Smith, Alex Smith. So there's a little bit of wavering there. The other thing is he thinks they'll trade him in the offseason, which we were having a conversation, yesterday, 2 days ago? Like Matt Verderam saying, I think they're going to cut him. I don't think they're going to cut him. I think they are going to get trade value. That was the main thing from what Schefter said, is he thinks they're going to trade Alex Smith, last few weeks notwithstanding. Third thing from that clip, Beards, can you play like kind of right after he says... whenever he says if they keep losing, if they keep struggling.
Do we just play the whole thing again? It's short.
Well, yeah. I mean, just start it in a few seconds. And then just play a section. I'm going to identify something for you. Just, yeah, start it wherever.
Okay. 4 seconds in.
Plan all along has been to stick with Alex Smith this season. And if they continue to lose and struggle. Maybe they would vacillate, but I think...
Pause. What word did he say before that? Not before that clip we just played. Before the word of that. Right when I gestured at you to stop it, Beard, it's like the word right before that. Play that again.
Plan all along has been to stick with Alex Smith this season. And if they continue to lose and struggle, maybe they would vacillate, but I think they...
That. What was that word? I wrote reassess because I think that's what he was getting at. But just can you isolate that word for me?
Struggle. Maybe they would vacillate, but I think...
Asked?
It sounds like there's a V.
But I think they stick with Alex. Vacillate, but I think they...
Maybe he was saying would have asked that?
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense in the context.
No, it doesn't.
Lose and struggle. Maybe they would vacillate, but I think they stick with Alex.
It sounds like, you know, the word...
It sounds like maybe would have asked that.
But it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. But that's what it sounds like.
Play the word with nothing, with no context on either side. Clean it up for me, Beards.
Okay, I'll get that done here in a sec.
Do it right now.
Yeah.
Because I think the actual word that you would think he was saying, if you played it completely out of context, is avast. Like he's a pirate.
That's actually the first thing that popped in my head right as you started saying that. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Vastly.
Avast is the closest thing I've gotten.
Vastly.
Maybe it is avast that or something. that was the third.
Maybe
thing.
They have a mutiny on the ship.
Ooh, or that was like a code word for like a sleeper agent. It's just like for guys watching ESPN at this time. There are a couple sleeper agents, and they needed to hear the word avast, and it would wake them up, and they would go. Maybe that was the word for the Chiefs offensive line. Maybe they've just been reactivated.
Vastly.
By hearing Adam Schefter say, avast that?
Vastly.
You don't you start playing a word over and over again?
Yeah, it doesn't like a word anymore?
Yeah, that's what's happening right now with me.
Vastly.
I disagree. I think the more we play this word, the more it starts to sound like something.
Vastly.
Because it didn't sound like a word the first time.
Vastly.
Right?
Strange.
It is strange.
Vastly.
But I thought it was interesting that he said with no qualifications, the Chiefs are going to trade Alex Smith, which means the Chiefs are going to get something in return for him. And that, you know, if the Chiefs keep losing, maybe they avast that and give Pat Mahomes a look. I thought that was minorly intriguing. Also, I told you we're going to talk to Kent Swanson later. He writes weekly Chiefs trends for Arrowhead Pride, and he had something from the Bills game. What? Go ahead, Beards.
I looked
his phone in front of his face.
I looked up the definition of avast, by the way. Yeah. Stop, cease.
Well, wow, maybe Schefter's living in 3017.
Hold on. Let's play that again with the new context. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go as soon as I click.
Lose and struggle. Maybe they would vacillate, but I think they stick with Alex Smith.
They would cease that. Maybe they would stop or cease that.
And if they continue to lose and struggle, maybe they would vacillate, but I think they stick with Alex Smith now.
If anybody has Adam Schefter's phone number, could you please DM that to me? I'd like to ask him what he meant to say there. That's the only thing I want to know from Adam Schefter. We're going to have Kent Swanson on at 5, Matt Connor here in about 10 minutes. But this was something that Kent found out about the Bills' defense last week. The Bills played no snaps in base defense the entire game. They were in nickel with five defense backs, excuse me, for all but one snap. The one snap that they were in dime, they blitzed. The Bills sent five or more rushers on 23% of charted snaps. One of the Chiefs' explosive plays came against a five-man pressure. That is painful. Also, if you do want to go ahead and break into the... Because, first of all, it's just confusing Alex Smith. Like, it's just... But it wasn't confusing. They were trotting out a bunch of defensive backs every single play. They were a nickel for all... They were trotting out five defensive backs every play but one. Until they had six defensive backs. Now, the Chiefs' run game not getting going against that is really horrifying. But for all of the praise you can give to Alex Smith, he's got to be able to deal with that, and he's just not. It's the thing that's crushing him right now, and it's one of the things that makes me really, really worried about this game on Sunday. I think it's the second most important game of the year, and I have very little confidence in it going well. Maybe we'll get some optimism from Matt Connor. Again, Kent Swanson at 5, Matt Connor here whenever we come back from break here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Also, for what it's worth, if we see another 9-point performance here, I'm not going to be able to hold back my Patrick Mahomes. The angry mob is coming. They are going to destroy you.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Do they have torches and pitchforks, or what do they have instead?
They actually, unlike Alex Smith's fan base, they have range weapons, so they can attack you from a distance.
Solid joke.
Yeah, no kidding.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I mean, it has to be my best joke of all time. I feel like that's at least in the Mount Rushmore.
Solid joke.
Welcome into Almost Entirely Sports. If you're just joining us, we're here every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. on ESPN Kansas City. It's 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. You can podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts. And also on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, we live stream the show every day. So not only can you listen to the show, you can watch it. Don't mind the awkward silences that take place during commercial breaks. Just, you know, leave the tab open and go to something else.
When you hear sound, you'll know we're back.
Exactly. You'll hear a line and go, ooh, it's time to go back and watch again. We're now joined by Matt Connor of Arrowhead Addict, the editor of Arrowhead Addict. He is online chief royalty. That's what I'm gonna lay that title down for you, Matt.
Man, that sounds pretty impressive. I'm not sure what range weapons I have to add to this, but I'm glad to add that.
We'll take your royal presence. There's nothing else we need other than the gift of you being here. So, Matt, I've developed a theory for this week. It's not really a theory, I guess. I guess that's exactly the wrong word. So, again, professional broadcaster here. I have a theory is the best I'm going to do about this game this week. I'm arguing at this point that I think this is the second most important game of the Chiefs season, which is really horrifying to say that against the Jets. But back against the Steelers, the Chiefs had a chance to prove that they could beat anybody in football and they had to be considered a Super Bowl contender. And right now, against the miserable Jets, the Chiefs have to prove that they can beat literally anybody like at all. Now including their third consecutive game against a struggling bad team. Is that fair?
Man, I think that's very fair. At this point, even the University of Tennessee wouldn't want Andy Reid to coach them. So I'm really not quite sure what we can I'm not quite sure what's in store if the Chiefs lose this week. I mean, if they do, we're going to be talking about the tie of miserable teams atop the AFC West and the dumpster fire that is the Chiefs if we're not already there. So, yeah, I think that's probably a good bet that this is not, like, technically a must-win, but, yeah, it is kind of a must-win.
And we haven't gotten to talk in this losing streak, kind of as a whole. Where are you right now with the state of this team?
You know, I want to be a little more centered than most of Chiefs Twitter.
Sure.
Because, you know, the reality is we maybe weren't the behemoth that we all, like, thought after the first 4 or 5 weeks. Because there were even some wins there in those first 5 weeks that felt a little sketchy. Like, we had a bit of moments that went our way.
For sure.
Redskins game, whatnot. And then on the other side, though, during the losing streak, you're talking about a few of those games came down to a ball going boink off the helmet of a player or two. And you're talking about referee calls that just made everyone pissed.
Yes.
So I think we lose sight of the fact that, really, this Chiefs team could easily be, you know, 7-3 right now.
Yep.
And this Chiefs team could also be 6-6 or, you know, like 5-6 right now. And honestly, I think this last five games presents a stretch that they could win out. I'm not trying to be a homer when I say that.
Sure, it's reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think talent has to win out. I think coaching has to come around. I think the Chiefs have been through these kind of streaks before. I mean, nothing was more miserable than starting the season, 1-5, and it just felt like, what in the world is happening again, you know, in Kansas City at that point. So, it wouldn't surprise me if they won out or won 4 of their last 5, had another double-digit win season, and the seed calmed a little bit, at least until the first-round exit.
If you have to look at this losing streak, and especially these last 2 games, because as you've said, there are reasons that you can point to for the Steelers' loss and the Raiders' loss and the Cowboys' loss. None of those, and the Steelers' loss was extremely painful because it made you feel like a fraud again, but it wasn't, none of those were unreasonable losses. The Giants and Bills games just are absolute just burdens now. I know that Andy Reid has said ad nauseum this week that there's blame to go all the way around. Everybody could be better. There are a lot of things that this team could be doing, blah, blah, blah. But if you had to point to the main one or two reasons that you would look at for this struggle, these last couple of weeks especially, what would you point to?
I mean, it's got to be Alex. I mean, that's where all of the, you know, that's why all of the fans are clamoring for some kind of a change, because that's really all you can control. But it's, you know, it's just mind blowing how quickly he gets the happy feet, or you see the open receivers, or you see, you know, these teams just using the same basic formula week after week after week. And then after the game, Andy's like, well, they did some things we weren't expecting.
Yep.
And you're just thinking, how are we not, you know, I think every team gets one rock bottom moment, and then good coaches go, boy, we learned from that one. And, you know, I mean, we've even done that to the best teams.
Yep.
Where Bill Belichick comes in to Arrowhead in the middle of a season, the Chiefs trounce them, and then the Patriots use that as sort of a, wow, boy, we got our butts handed to us, and we learned from that one. So I thought that was going to be the Giants game. I thought, wow, you know, we all trumped up Andy Reid's post-bye record, learned a lesson. The Giants are miserable. We can be just as miserable, but surely they went out.
Yep.
And then the Bills game was just, how are we not learning from this? So, I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say, but it certainly has to start with Alex Smith.
So if you were allowed to make the shots, call the shots, and I know that we have limited access to what Mahomes has looked like in practice and everything, and I know that the plan this season was absolutely to give the whole season to Alex Smith and then to move on. No one can ever say anything that would convince me that's not the plan this whole time. But if you were making the moves, would you have been tempted to give Mahomes this week to prepare for this game and then have him start against the Jets? Would you wait until after this game to make a move if it goes poorly? Or are you completely out on, like, are you redshirting Mahomes 100% the rest of the season?
Yeah. The answers are no and no and no. Okay. No way am I allowing Patrick Mahomes on the field. And that's only because, in addition to being Chiefs internet royalty, I'm also the most humble of Chiefs internet royalty. Because I understand this. I am not the guy up close. I am not the guy watching him in practice. I am not the guy who drafted him, nor the guy who's coaching him day after day.
Mm-hmm.
So if people whose jobs are on the line are keeping Patrick Mahomes from playing, I have to defer to them ultimately and go, I don't get it. I don't understand. What I'm seeing on the field is mind-boggling to me. I'm as frustrated as anyone else. But at the same time, if you're not putting in Patrick Mahomes and you say Alex Smith is the best, I got to trust that that's the best, and I'm not just going to armchair quarterback this thing because there's nothing on the line for me other than all of my emotions on a Sunday.
Right. And to that same emotion you're referencing, if they were to make that move after this week and give Mahomes the week to prepare for a home game against a division rival, you would also kind of just nod in deference to that also, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, for me, I just think we often lose sight of the fact that that the people who are making these decisions, it's not just that they're closer to it than we are. It's livelihood on the line,
right?
You know, and so if someone gets the axe for some reason because someone has to make a change, you're talking about pulling kids out of school and buying and selling houses and all. I mean, so these things are so big that it's like, if someone's not starting Patrick Mahomes, it's not because they're just good buddies with Alex Smith.
Right.
And they don't want to hurt his feelings on the way out the door.
Right.
You know, you're talking about something much bigger than that.
So there was a stat we were reading last segment. Kent Swanson pointed this out. We'll talk to him later on today. He said the Bills played no snaps in base defense all week last Sunday. They were in nickel for all but one snap, and the one snap they were in dime, they blitzed. So as you mentioned, you know, Reed comes out every week and says, oh, they did some things you weren't expecting. And Alex Smith's biggest strength is probably what he can do before the snap. And if he can diagnose what's going on, he can be a very, very good quarterback. But whenever he starts to question what's happening, whenever he has to do a little improv as he goes, it seems like the struggles are really, really obvious. And the Bills did it last week by showing him a bunch of defensive backs the whole time, which is very similar to what the Chiefs did to beat the Patriots, especially early on this season. Do you expect the Jets to replicate that? And if so, do you expect Alex Smith to do anything other than play like he did last week?
Alex has to get much better at reading and reacting, which, you know, what we're talking about is like 2-point-something seconds, you know?
Right, sure.
But after the snap, mm-hmm. like that has to be... Because every team is showing him something pre-snap, he's adjusting to it, and then that turns out to be something fake. Like over the last few weeks, people have been sort of changing things up more and more, knowing, hey, if we show Alex this before the snap and then resort back to this after the snap, then they're taking advantage of the Chiefs in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with that many defensive backs, really it shouldn't even be on Alex. I mean, at this point, I mean, we should be – you know, we should be talking about how incredible Kareem Hunt has been doing
right.
against such pass-heavy fronts and all that kind of stuff. But, somehow we're still talking about Alex's struggles, even, you know, facing these kinds of defenses.
What is the problem that you're seeing in the run game? Is it an offensive line problem more than anything? If so, is there a spot in the offensive line, in the play calling, in the scheming that shines out to you?
I mean, you know, like left guard to me is a revolving door of what in the world's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like Brian Witzman got the early starts there. He's got a huge frame. Seems like he could be sort of the road grader type in some way, and yet then he's replaced. Now we have Zach Fulton.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, you got a healthy Parker Anger. I don't know what he did wrong. Or maybe, you know, some guys – cannot fully come back from that ACL. You know, for a lot of players today, medical advances, a player can tear their Achilles or they can have an ACL, PCL, MCL problem, and then come back mm-hmm. just fine. And we're seeing Reggie Ragland, you know, like
yep.
this sort of beast coming back, and we're enjoying the fruits of that. But it seems like Parker, for whatever reason, hasn't been able – I mean, he's rehabbed for forever. He's on the active roster, and he's still not playing. So – I'm just wondering if there's something there, and if so, the Chiefs will have to make a move in the offseason to fill that spot. But, man, that's a real trouble spot, especially as Eric Fisher looks weak against better competition and those kind of things.
With that in mind, with all of the issues offensively, the defense has stepped up, played some of its best couple of games in these last couple of weeks. Reggie Ragland, a huge part of that. What do you think the biggest evolution has been with Bob Sutton's defense?
Well, you know, they've made the switch. I mean, the linebackers look great. The linebackers looked horrible all year besides Justin Houston, you know, especially inside. But, I mean, we're really watching the ascent of a great young player in Reggie Ragland. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that deal for Kevin Pierre-Lewis. I mean,
yep.
he looks the part.
Yep.
And, I think with Derek Johnson scaling back, I think his instincts and awareness and leadership can come into play if he's playing in a rotation more than if he is, like, the guy. So I love seeing him rotate snaps with those two guys. And I have hopes for Darrell Revis. I do. Mm-hmm. I know that last year was a down year. I know that there's something to be said for working his way back into game shape. And everyone's saying the right things, which, of course, they are. But, yeah, I have high hopes there for him locking down that other side. And, you know, certainly he can't be worse than what the Chiefs have thrown out there.
Right. We're talking to Matt Connor of Arrowhead Addict. You can follow him on Twitter at MattConnorAA. Read everything you want at arrowheadaddict.com. So I have two more kind of, existential questions for you. I guess one's not as existential as the other. So we'll go with the less existential one first, Matt. What do you expect on Sunday from the Chiefs? You can make that one as existential or as practical as you would like.
I Andy Reid has a tough exterior. Mm-hmm. He really doesn't let much out. He's full of coach speak. But this week, he gave more details than before, seemed a little more fired up than before, even like after the game. I think there's going to be kind of a spirited Chiefs team that we haven't seen. And I think for 6 weeks we've been asking, where's the passion? Where's the fire? Where's the competitive juices that had this team rolling early? And, John Elway came out and called his own Broncos soft. And I think right. If there were a Chiefs executive with the kind of moxie that Elway has in KC, we might have been saying the same thing here. Mm-hmm. So, I think Reed's I'm hopeful, at least, the homer in me is hopeful, right. that the Chiefs come out with that sort of swagger, attitude, passion, and fire that we just haven't seen for some reason.
And now, slightly more existentially, what are your expectations for the Chiefs for the rest of the season? And into the playoffs,
Let's ride the positive vibes. I don't know how you feel. I don't know if you're positive about it, but let's say they went out. Let's say they go 11-5. Let's say we're all feeling good. We walk into the playoffs and we see what happens.
Right. All right, Matt Connor of Arrowhead Addict. Always good to catch up with you, Your Highness.
Hey, all the best to you guys, man. Always good to be on.
I was going to say, it's Matt Connor, but I just said that. You have to be a terrible listener to not know that was Matt Connor of Arrowhead Addict. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Connor AA. You can. That was Matt Connor.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
That's fine. I expect that of you. If you're listening to the show as a radio program or perhaps as a podcast, you probably figured it out. I agree with Matt on a bunch of things. I think that some of the optimism is reasonable. And I think that the perspective of whatever the Chiefs do with their quarterbacks are probably going to be the right things. I don't know if I'm equipped to say that Andy Reid is making the wrong quarterback choices. The one place where I kind of just stare at the sky now and go, oh, man, I don't know if I can ride with you there, is the optimism is great, and there is an obvious path for the Chiefs to win out. But at this point, why would you believe in that? What reasonable person would look at what the Chiefs have the rest of this way, what they've done these last couple of weeks, and go, oh, you know what? No, this is a team that's about to go on a run. They're about to take you to the promised land. I'm not sure I can get there yet. Also, Jarrell Revis coming in this week is interesting. We'll talk about that and assorted other things every comeback.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Welcome into a Red Friday. I was going to say Wed Friday, and I didn't.
With Joshua Briscoe.
People of Jerusalem, Rome is your friend.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I'm not Jewish, I'm a Roman.
A Roman?
No, Roman.
I deserved that.
It's a great movie.
It's pretty good. It's a Monty Python thing, right?
Life of Brian.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a pretty good line of reads.
Dare I say, it's funnier than Holy Grail.
Wow. Slanderous. Welcome into a Wed Friday version of Almost Entirely Sports. I was on my school's improv team the last 2 years I was there. And my best character was a child who was like an overly intelligent child. So I would just get on my knees on the stage and just go like I don't have material. I'm out of practice, but I could be. Let's say I was talking about the Chiefs as we currently are. Listen, I don't mean to undercut the intelligence of Andy Reid. He clearly has more experience than I do. I'm just a little baby, but I still think that honestly, at this point, they really should consider starting Patrick Mahomes. This is like a very verbose child with a little kid accent.
With a little wisp.
With a little wisp. And it was by far my best character. And I don't know how. I was going to say I'm misdoing it, but I think I could just bring it into the radio show here. I've got a few voices now.
I mean, isn't this just an improv show?
It
anyway?
Is. Yeah. Well, largely, yeah. This is a sports-themed improv show more than anything. But I don't know how to bring that in. I don't know if it's, you know, let's go to the sidelines for Baby Reporter. Thanks, Boyan. A lot of big hits down here. The Chiefs offense taking the biggest hit so far has been absolutely anemic. Also, I miss my mommy. Like, I don't know if that's a character that we can do here. I don't know that character's viability in this format. But we can always give it a shot. I'm in a really weird place with this Chiefs game. I guess I'm going to pick the Chiefs here. I'm currently trying to catch up to my dad and Pigskin Pick'em, so I'm going to pick the Jets on ESPN.com. Because it's like a 50-50. No, that, shush. It's a 50-50 kind of game. And basically at this point, any games that are within 3 points, I'm going to just try to zig where my dad's at, where my dad zags. And if he hears this and switches his pick to the Jets, I'll know, and I'll switch mine back to the Chiefs. I'm going to say now, here on the radio, and I'm going to say it on Twitter, I'm sure, on Sunday, I'm going to pick the Chiefs because I don't think that the Chiefs are the team we've seen the last 2 weeks. I also don't think that they're the team we saw against the Patriots or the Eagles, obviously. I think the Chiefs exist in their truest form somewhere between the two. And I think that team is good enough to beat the Jets. And, I mean, if that team shows up, they're good enough to beat the Raiders and the Chargers and the Dolphins and the Broncos also. And, again, I'm telling you, I think this is the second most important game of the Chiefs season because they have to beat somebody. And obviously, if they lose, then next week becomes the second most important game. But every game becomes so vital. But the problem I'm having is I don't know what I'm doing by saying, you know what, I genuinely believe that the Chiefs are going to get back on track this week. I mean, I guess it's just a history thing. I believe that Andy Reid is a good coach, and I believe that Alex Smith is a better quarterback than what we've seen. Not a good enough quarterback to win you anything meaningful, but I don't think he's these last 2 weeks. And I still would really prefer to see Pat Mahomes brought into the fold to see what he can actually do with these weapons before you start to recalibrate for him next year. All of that stands, and all of that will stand if the Chiefs put up a bunch of points on the Jets also. But I'm picking the Chiefs because I think if you give me the truest version of the Chiefs and the truest version of the Jets, the Chiefs have a slight advantage. It's not much. It's something. It's not a lot, though. Because the Jets have been, you know, the Jets have been the Chiefs' light to some extent. They get decent tight end play from Austin Seferian Jenkins, and they have decent running back performances from Matt Forte, who's been in this league for 100,000 years. They've gotten decent game management from Josh McCown. They have a decent deep threat in Robbie Anderson. I'm pretty sure that's his name. And if it's not, don't correct me. I'm pretty sure that's his name. And their defense is decent. They're just like the lower evolution of what the Chiefs are. Except for Andy Reid and Todd Bowles are 100 worlds apart. And so I think the Chiefs have enough advantages that the thing I believe the Chiefs are should be able to handle this. But the problem is they should have handled the Bills, and they really bleeping should have handled the Jets. The Giants, excuse me. And it's an offensive problem completely. I do think that the Jets are going to be more prone. Josh McCown is going to be more prone to turn the ball over than Tyrod Taylor was. Now, Eli Manning also should have been more prone to turn the ball over than he actually was. But that's a place that you can be a little optimistic. Maybe McCown throws a couple passes that Taylor wouldn't have. The defense gives you some good field position, and that's enough. I think the Chiefs will beat the Jets this week. But I don't know how you can be confident about it. Because you can say, well, listen, an Andy Reid team doesn't lose three games in a row to really terrible trash garbage teams. And then I would say, oh, yeah, but he also don't lose two in a row to bad teams. And also, he doesn't lose to a terrible team coming off of a bye week with 2 weeks to prepare for the Giants. None of those things are characteristics of an Andy Reid offense. So I don't know. I don't know why you would feel like you could predict any of that with any sort of certainty. The music's a little loud today, Beards. I thought for sure you were just going to pull it the whole way off and then just let me do the rest of this in silence.
No, I'm not that chaotic and disruptive.
Right, that's true, because we would probably either end the segment with several seconds of silence or in the middle of a sentence. Which would admittedly be kind of funny. If this computer to my right connected to the internet, we could probably just, you could just tell me what time we had to be out by, and we could probably just do that. But this computer to my right does not connect to the Wi-Fi. Also, I just remembered that somebody, I think after the Giants game, had a theory. Like, do you think that Reed spent too much time preparing for the Bills game, so he overlooked the Giants? And I don't think that's what happened either. Kit Swanson, Arrowhead Pride, when you come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Again, if this is the first time listening to the show, I'm not going to spend the whole show telling you all the reasons that Patrick Mahomes should start next week.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow's show.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back into Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. I'm Josh Briscoe. Beards McFly is here. I found his real name today is Nathaniel. Not because I didn't know that his real name wasn't Beards. I just thought it was Nathan. Here's a tease. We'll talk about that later in today's show.
Now, I'm excited.
Tell me you're not just feeling wrapped up into where this show goes from here. But now we're going to talk about, you know, the Chiefs, if that's okay with you. Talk about the game coming up this weekend. We're talking to Kent Swanson right now. I'm guessing it's pronounced Swanson. I've been saying Swanson this whole time. You know what? What better way to find out for sure than asking Kent? Kent, am I saying your last name right?
You absolutely are.
Thank goodness. There are too many, like Mellinger and Kaiser. There are too many Romery. There are too many guys we've had on this show or in this city that have difficult, tricky names. So I'm glad that we're safe on that. You can follow Kent on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. That's like the bird and then like the male child, Swanson. He writes for Arrowhead Pride as well. He's put together a few weekly trends things that have had some unbelievably good pieces of insight. So Kent, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
So we have some stuff from the Bills game that you wrote about that I thought was really interesting, not the least of them being what the Bills did defensively. You wrote about how the Bills played no snaps in their base defense the entire game last week. They were in nickel for all but one snap, and then they were in dime for that snap and blitz on the Chiefs then. So can you unpack that a little bit, what that looked like as you were seeing, oh my goodness, the Bills stayed with five defensive backs on the field at all times?
It was really interesting to see, and I haven't seen it like that ever before. Mm-hmm. You know, most times, at least, you know, in some short yardage situations that they're bringing in, you know, more heavy personnel to try to stop the run. But I think that's kind of an indictment on what's been going on with the Chiefs so far this year, you know, like the last 5 weeks, mm-hmm. is that they're able to get more people in the box by, you know, moving some of those safeties down to the line of scrimmage kind of at the snap of the ball and being more aggressive downhill, because they're not able to they're not being punished downfield. So, you know, it was very shocking to see. I had to go double check a couple times to make sure I was actually saying that right. Mm-hmm. Because it was stunning. And I think that is partially an indictment on what their the lack of respect just teams have in general for this offense last few weeks.
And another thing that you wrote about to that extent was what's going on with the Chiefs in the wide side of the field. We've talked about that here a bit, but for anyone who hasn't caught up on that or wants to just hear it from the horse's mouth, what did you see there by way of defenses absolutely disrespecting the Chiefs' offense?
Yeah, well, I heard you actually, you know, reading that the other day. I was kind of grateful to get the Josh Reed to the Internet treatment.
Yes! But, you know, man, what a great honor.
Yeah, no, I was, you know, that's rarefied air right there.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the thing about, I think that's kind of a pretty good explanation of what's going on right now with the Chiefs is, you know, he's not punishing people in enough square yardage of the field. And the Chiefs are becoming extremely predictable because we're not, you know, they're not threatened. Defenses aren't threatened right now for very much of the field right now. And, that was a stunning, I kind of had to go back and double check. I had to, you know, I could watch that a couple times to make sure that was actually the case. But they really weren't making any completions to the wide side of the field. And that makes things more predictable. What winds up happening in these situations is that the corners that are on the wide side of the field, the safeties that are on the wide side of the field, they're less threatened. They don't feel that they're daring Alex Smith to beat him out there. So what they wind up doing is they're cheating to the areas that they know Alex Smith likes to throw to. And some of the coverages have been built such that they are kind of trying to take away some of the areas that Alex Smith likes to throw the football to, and saying, if you want to win this game, if you want to score, if you want to put points on the board and get some explosive plays, you're going to have to do the stuff you don't want to do. And he's not doing it right now, and I think that's largely some of the struggles that we've seen so far.
So now, in the sense of Alex Smith's process, not so much the result, not so much what defenses are doing, but what Alex Smith himself is doing. What's the biggest problem right now with this play? He mentioned yesterday or 2 days ago, he talked about his feet and his eyes. We talked about that a lot. Is it one of those things? Is there something else that's currently making Alex Smith a lesser quarterback than we're used to seeing?
How long do you have, man? No, I mean, it's a laundry list of things. I do think some of it is what the defenses are doing. And it mostly what it kind of has to do is, you know, when an offense isn't able to generate explosive plays and teams are less worried about explosive plays, that gives them more flexibility to do some of the coverage disguises and be more aggressive in the ways that they're trying to, you know, not tell what they're going to be doing defensively until the snap of the ball. And so Alex has not had a good feel for what's going on across the field. He's not been able to, you know, really identify everything as quickly as he normally is. So he's having to wait a second to kind of confirm what his eyes are seeing and then get through his progression. The problem is that, you know, and it's not completely all Alex Smith's fault, mm-hmm. but, you know, the line, when you start getting pressure on you and stuff like that, it makes it a little bit more difficult, and that little split second can actually have, you know, an effect on the offense itself. But, you know, I think that's probably the easiest way I can say it is, just like, he's not – defenses are on the aggressive, right now, mm-hmm. and the Chiefs are kind of playing on their heels offensively because they're more reacting to what's happening. And until the Chiefs are able to generate some explosive plays, I think we're going to see a lot of the same stuff that we're seeing right now.
With that being in mind, with the biggest problem being that, you know, they can't uncork this bottle currently because there is nothing to fear, how tempted would you be or how tempted are you to at least call for the starting of Pat Mahomes?
It's been the last 2 weeks that I've been just back and forth on this, and it's such a nuanced question, and there's so many long-term and short-term you know, factors to consider. Mm-hmm. I think, and this is just my opinion, and I think Alex Smith will and should be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs until they are eliminated from the playoffs, whether okay. that's in the playoffs. And if they win the Super Bowl next year, you're going to have some hard decisions yeah, next right. year to look on too.
Right.
You know, so I think I'm not there yet. I think he's earned every opportunity to continue to try to lead this team. You know, we've seen moments of brilliance and probably the best moments of Alex Smith's, you know, career in Kansas City, the first five of the game, you know, first five games of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, if they can recapture some of that, you know, then they're going to be in good shape and they might be a little bit more dangerous than we think right now. So until then, until they're eliminated from the playoffs, I think he should be. I think Alex Smith should be remain the quarterback, and we can start looking at the future when the future becomes reality.
Talking to Kent Swanson right now. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. Read all of his stuff at Arrowhead Pride. Let's talk about the offensive line for a second. I'm of the school of thought that they're getting maybe a little bit more blame than they do because Alex Smith tends to run into pressure or drop his eyes very soon. But I'm curious what you've seen from the offensive line, what level of blame you can point at there, or what the severity of the situation is for the offensive line right now.
I kind of fall in line with where you're at. You know, there has been some inconsistencies with Alex's maneuvering of the pocket, and you know he's adjusted his drops a little bit. He's drifting back farther than the landmarks that the offensive line are currently trying to protect. So I do agree with you in a lot of that sense. And you know, I think you can say the same thing for the run blocking. You know, when teams are playing heavier boxes and when they're able to start moving aggressively guys down into the box, whether it be at the snap or before the snap, it becomes increasingly difficult to run the football. And, you know, I do think I will add a caveat, though, that I think the Chiefs are not getting a return on investment the same way they should be for their offensive line. Mm-hmm. But it's not the end all be all, and it's not the biggest issue with this football team right now. It's more about the lack of respect that the offense is being given.
And so with that out there, talking about the lack of respect, the big plays, the need for big plays that are there, on a very practical level, if you were out there calling plays this week, other than shaking your boots, what would you be doing? What would you be looking for? What would you be asking Alex Smith to do, asking the offensive line to do that they're not currently doing?
Well, I think part of what they need to do, and I think I kind of expect to see it, I think they need to be more aggressive early and take some shots and see if they can put kind of get control of the football game a little bit better. And I think that's something I've noticed the last few weeks is, you know, teams, and until the Chiefs, like you said, uncork that bottle, they're going to be running into the same issues that they've been running. They've got to hit on a big play downfield, and I would be making some incredibly aggressive movements to try to get that to happen. The good thing is they've got the best vertical running tight end in football, right. And they have the fastest player in the NFL.
Yes.
And they've got to find a way. And honestly, I think they could, you know, they've been using Cameron Irving as a sixth offensive lineman a lot. Mm-hmm. Bring him in, bring Anthony Sherman in, bring Kareem Hunt in, keep Kelce and Hill out there, and go max protect and take a shot with two of the best at their position and, you know, just see if you can generate a play downfield.
Yeah.
Once that happens, once they start generating a couple of, you know, explosive plays, I think you're going to see, you know, a little bit more, you know, mojo back, a little more rhythm, a little more tempo to what the Chiefs are trying to accomplish. You know, I think that, honestly, the Chiefs lived off the reputation of the explosive play for the first five games of this season. Mm-hmm. And slowly over time, people started having a lack of respect for what the Chiefs were doing and treated the first five games as an anomaly. So they got to hit a couple of explosive plays, and they've got the personnel to do it. They've got to get it done. And until then, we're going to be talking about the same thing for the next couple of weeks, and Pat Mahomes' times will be here sooner than we think.
And so I know you can't burrow into the brain of Andy Reid or into the mind of Alex Smith, but like you, that was very good analysis, and I think exactly on target. And it also seems kind of obvious that that's a huge problem that they have right now and haven't done anything to address. So with that in mind, why hasn't Andy Reid called for that? Why hasn't Alex Smith taken those deep shots? Why hasn't this been a thing that the Chiefs have tried to stick with the metaphor, to uncork the bottle?
I mean, there's always attempts for explosive plays. When you watch the All-22, you're going to see some vertical attempts and some attempts to try to push the ball down the field. So to that point, there is some blame for Alex Smith right now in that he's not trying to capitalize on those opportunities. Mm-hmm. But I think what we've kind of arrived to at this point is that there needs to be some intentionality about trying to create these explosive plays. You know, Andy kind of, the way his offense is designed, they have a lot of vertical stretches. The problem is that Alex is not trusted enough what he's seen, and he's been a little bit more confused the last few weeks, that he's taking the easy way out. He's taking those check downs, the things that have been consistently frustrating. So, you know, I think Andy has been allowing Alex to kind of arrive at the realization a little bit more on his own terms, you know, where, you know, the stuff that he was doing well last year and the stuff the stuff that he was doing, some of those opportunities are still there. He's just not seizing the opportunities. I think they've come to a point, and I think last week was it, where there's a realization that they need to be more intentional and kind of force Alex into that kind of shot. I kind of joke. I was watching last year's film, and some of Alex Smith's most conservative points of the year, Andy was dialing up basically, you know, concepts where there wasn't a check down. The deepest man was 10 yards down the field. And they were in empty and they were throwing the ball. I mean, the check down was 10 yards down the field. Right. They're trying to force the issue. I think, you know, there's some psychological stuff that Andy does there where he's forcing Alex's hand at times. I think we're getting closer to a point where there's just got to be a more intentional, aggressive attempt to force Alex's hand a little bit than there ever has been.
I think that's great, and I think that makes a ton of sense. I also would have loved to have seen that start last week. Do you think that it does actually start this week?
I 100%. Okay. I think, you know, for a lot of different reasons, with the attitude of the fan base, with probably the attitude of the team, if we're being honest. I mean, there's a breaking point for everybody.
Yep.
I think they understand that this game is pretty critical to the outlook of the entire season and Alex Smith's tenure in Kansas City. So I do believe that this is the time that they go and they try to, you know, kind of reset that mentality a little bit and try to get him doing some of the things that were making them so successful the first 5 weeks of the season.
I hope that you are exactly right. We talked to Kent Swanson here. I want to call you a different name for some reason. I want to call you Ken. I called you Kevin earlier to Beards. I don't know why. I'm afraid of mispronouncing your last name. I think we made it the whole way through. Kent Swanson of Arrowhead Pride. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. We'll talk to you again at some point soon, I promise, Kent. That was great.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Oop, I accidentally hung up on him. I didn't mean to. But I did. I feel like I learned. I looked at the clock, like, I don't know, 10 minutes in the interview. I was like, oh, man, that was only 10 minutes. I feel like I just learned, like, 1,000 things. I love the idea of Andy Reid forcing Alex Smith's hand by the check down being 10 yards downfield. I think that makes beyond a ton of sense. My question would be, why hadn't that started last week? And my fear is that it still won't start this week. My fear is that Alex Smith is too timid. But if that is a development that this offense makes, if even the checkdowns are 10 yards downfield, if Andy Reid does sort of force Alex Smith to play in the style that he wants to see, then I think the Chiefs are probably good against the Jets. The Chiefs should be favored every game the rest of the season, and they'll go and they'll beat a bad team in the playoffs before losing to a good team in the playoffs. That's how it would go. It's kind of how I expected this whole season to go. So really good stuff there. Again, go follow Kent at Kent_Swanson on Twitter. Go read his stuff at Arrowhead Pride. It's always smart and good, as opposed to this show, which is always here. I mean, we're always
mostly
here. We're always here.
Except for when our technology doesn't work.
No, okay, last week you did have us off the air for the first, 5 minutes of the show.
That was yesterday.
Isn't that what I said?
You said last week.
Sorry, it feels like a week ago. I think the Chiefs win this week. I think they have the pieces to win this week. I think if Kent was the offensive coordinator, they would win this week. And I'm just so baffled as to how that hasn't started already. I know they have better pieces. They have more talent than the Jets do. Just like they did against the Bills and like they did against the Giants. And we're pretty deep into this whole bad offensive performance thing. I hope he's right. I hope last week was the wake-up call. I hope this week is whenever it actually launches the team into a new way of thinking. So I think they win on Sunday. I'm going to pick them. And if they don't win on Sunday, then on Monday, we're going to do the Almost Entirely Mahomes intro. We're going to have Patrick Mahomes-related liners coming back from every segment. And the show is just going to be a two-hour-long loop of me singing Mahomes on the Range in its entirety. If the Chiefs lose to the Jets. And nothing will change, and then the season will just eventually get flushed on the toilet. All right. Beards is so checked out of this show. Beards freaking hates the Chiefs, and he hates football, and he hates sports.
I feel like that's a misrepresentation.
But only slightly, right?
A little more than that, maybe?
All right, Nathaniel, you hush it. I can't believe that I'm this unconfident about Chiefs-Jets. Like, at the beginning of the season, legitimately looked like the easiest game on the schedule, even though it was on the road. And now I'm like, well, this is the most important game of the year, huh? Losing this one would be a real death sentence. And winning this one wouldn't even mean that much. Woo-hoo. The state of the Chiefs, ladies and gentlemen.